Hey, it's World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. Today, David Crosby. He is, hands down, one of my favorite people to talk to. And lucky for me, he keeps putting out new records. So we keep getting the chance to have him on the show. He released 4 albums in the last 5 years. Cros is in his late 70s. Go figure. We'll try and get to the bottom of this late life burst of creativity. We'll also talk about the many musical lives Crosby has had with bands, from The Byrds to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. He tells the story of watching Neil Young write the iconic CSNY song Ohio. And we talk about the current bands that are inspiring his new material, the rock group he has with his son James, which featured on his 2017 album Sky Trails, and the one you'll hear today, the Lighthouse Band. Cros's acoustic group, capable of the most crispy, crunchy, cool harmonies. Have a listen to the Lighthouse Band on this song. This is the album version of Glory, which opens up David Crosby's latest record. The song that opens Here If You Listen, which is the new album by David Crosby, along with the Lighthouse Band, which is Michelle Willis, Becca Stevens, and Michael League. Hey, David Crosby, welcome back to World Cafe.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Elderly and confused. No, I'm actually, this is so weird. I'm probably the happiest I've ever been.
What's making you so happy?
Music and my family. Family and music.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, this album that you've made, Here If You Listen, is gorgeous. Like, you've made a lot of gorgeous music, but I think this might be one of the most beautiful things that I've heard you do.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And so you and I spoke for the last time about your 2017 album, Sky Trails. And when we got on the line, I told you that everyone around the office that day was like, wait, how are you talking to David Crosby again? Didn't we literally just have him on the show? And at the time, they were talking about 2016's Lighthouse record, because we had just had you on the show. And now I'm having a deja vu moment today, because same thing around the office. Everyone was like, didn't you just talk to David Crosby about Sky Trails? And we did, but we're here, and you have a new album. What's going on with this wild output? Like, do we need to schedule a monthly phone call or something at this point?
Oh, God. I'll give you the best explanation I can. I'm the luckiest guy you know. That's it. I look at how fortunate I've been, man. I can't really believe that I after all the luck I've already previously had in my life with great people to work with, and I've worked with some terrific people. I leave CSN, and that's like diving off a cliff. It's really a dangerous thing to do, and it was what had to happen. We weren't having any fun anymore, And I run into, I've got, what I'm diving into is these two bands, the one with my son, the Sky Trails band, that's the rock and roll band, and this band, the acoustic one, with Michael League, who is just amazing. He's the bass player and the composer and the band leader for a jazz band called Snarky Puppy. He's a terrific musician. And then Becca Stevens, singer-songwriter from the Carolinas, unbelievable singer, unbelievable writer, player, and Michelle Willis, singer-songwriter from Toronto, Canada. And that's luck. That's just got to be luck that I could wind up with these people. But what's happened is I've had a very hot chemistry with these two groups of people, these two bands, and the records just keep coming out. Truthfully, it doesn't really make sense that I'm making records because they're not paying me for them. You know, the streaming thing's just killed us.
Do you think, you're in a band with people who have not had the kind of success that you've had yet, and they're in the streaming climate too. And like, I sort of get the sense, like for you, it's like, okay, at this point, I'm making music because I love it. My career, like the days I think of maybe worrying and hustling about being able to make a living as a musician are probably behind you. And for the people that you're working with, I think they're there now. So like, how do you get them through that? Or like, how do you figure out how to make a living as a musician now? And can you help them through that?
You try. You do want to point the light at them and try to help them out, because the streaming thing hits people who you would call an established artist, right? I've been doing it a long time. It hits us very badly, cut my income in half. But the new people, they can't. It's so hard for them to get a leg up, so hard for them to make any living at all, so hard for them to be able to get through the initial dues that you pay as an artist without getting anything from records. So I'm kind of anti-streaming because of that.
David Crosby is here with me on World Cafe. So working in a four-piece harmony band is a format that is familiar to you. that's not a new arrangement.
No.
And I'm wondering if there's something that you learned about how to make it work in a four-person band from the dynamic that you had with Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young that you are applying here.
Yes, absolutely. You know, unless you're completely dead to the world, you learn as you go along and you apply it to trying to do it better. I'm very proud of the work that we did in those bands. We did some good music, but they were mostly competitive bands. You know, they were very competitive bands internally, and this is a more cooperative kind of thing. This is competitive and cooperative, really two different kinds of energy. One goes all the way, you know, competitive winds up at battle, war, and cooperative winds up at a symphony orchestra. It's my end of things. That's where those are my people. That's the part of human effort that I want to be in.
Huh. Is it that that obviously the people that you're working with here are different and that could be a big part of the environment change. Are you different too?
Yes.
How so?
Yeah. I'm a slow learner, but I do learn as I go along, and I'm probably a little better at, you know, being nice to the people around me. I still shoot my mouth off too much, but I'm slowly trying to civilize myself with my behavior around the entire female half of the planet also. I realize I haven't been doing the best I could do with that, and I'm working on that one too. I'm trying to grow up. There was a rumor I was going to grow up. It hasn't panned out yet.
But, what made you realize that you had to treat the other half of the planet better? Like, did you have a moment, an aha moment about that?
It's mostly the two ladies in my band and my wife. The three of them are such whole, complete people and such really strong, good, you know, human beings that they make, you know, any sensible guy would reassess, you know, his original stance about women. Most of us guys come into this thing, you know, from being teenage boys. We're not really very sophisticated, boys aren't. And as you grow, you know, you slowly figure that out. And I think guys now are starting to, you know, the world of guys is starting to realize, you know, that women are half of the human race, half of the brains in the human race, and they should have half of the control of the human race. One of the songs on the record is that's what it's about. Other Half Rule is us asking the women of the United States of America to please just step in and take over. Look at it this way. You most certainly would do a better job than the current mess.
Well, let's have a listen to that song then, shall we?
Yes, please.
Save me from myself. Let it out. All the things you never spoke about. Move aside. While the other half rules.
That's Other Half Rule. David Crosby's new album is called Here If You Listen. There are two songs on the album that start out with demo versions of songs that you started working on back in the day. One is called 1967, one is called 1974. So the music that we hear at the beginning of these two songs, these are actual demos of yours from decades ago, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so can you tell me the story of finding those demos and getting to a point where we can hear them on an album?
These were scraps that originally were saved in drawers full of tapes and then got dug up in a couple of sweeps that I initiated and had people do. But these two were amongst the best ones. And Mike said, you know, well, we can either start over with these as the template, or we can go from these to now and sort of be a time machine. And that was very appealing because it was something we hadn't done. And it worked, I thought.
Oh, it's amazing. It's like you're welcome. It's like a conversation through history. Like it's so, the way that it's almost like these demos are like a root that's in soil and you can hear the tree of this song like grow out of them through the voices of your bandmates.
It inspired some pretty crazy stuff in the arrangements, too.
Yeah, it did. I want to play 1974, so let's have a listen to that. Here we go. David, do you remember where you were in 1974 when you made that recording?
Planet Earth, I think.
You think so? Yep. Anything more specific than that, or just generally?
I'm guessing northwestern Americas.
Okay.
You know, I'm being funny about it, but no, the truth is, I have no idea.
You have no idea.
It could have been at any one of a bunch of different studios that I like, various places around the country. I have to make a confession to you, which is that I spend almost none of my consciousness thinking about anything further back than about 5 minutes ago. Almost 100% of my energy and time and effort and focus is on what am I doing today? What am I supposed to do tomorrow? You know, I'm proud of the work that I've done. I'm not slagging it at all. I like it. I like the birds. I like CSN. I like CSNY. I like Crosby Nash. I like the solo stuff. I like it all. I'm proud of it. But I don't think about it one single bit in a day. Not at all. And I gotta tell you, this band, the Lighthouse Band, this is the rarest form of anything that I do. It's really scrumptious. And I get to do it again tomorrow night. That's what I'm thinking about. That's where my focus in life is.
Yeah, but an interesting exercise then, I guess, to use material from the past as the basis for building on.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a very adventurous thing to do, but Mike, if anything, is an adventurous guy. There's no question about that. He's musically as brave as anybody I've ever met.
Yeah. David Crosby is here with me on World Cafe. You've gifted us some recent live performances that you've done with the Lighthouse Band to play on World Cafe, and one of them is this recording that you've done of the song Ohio. And if people don't remember, that's a CSNY song that was written by Neil as a reaction to the Kent State shootings back in 1970 in May of unarmed college students by members of the Ohio National Guard at Kent State University. And you guys put that song out so fast after the events happened, right? Like, it was within 2 weeks that you had recorded it. So can you tell me a little bit, can you take me back to that time and tell me a little bit about that moment? Like, Neil writes this song, and then what happened next?
Neil and I were out driving around in a Woody that he has, an old wooden station wagon, and up in the mountains, and we went to a friend's house, and he said, "Oh, God, I'm glad you guys came back. Let me make you breakfast." And he took off to go to the store to get the eggs, and came back, and he had that magazine, had that picture on the cover, that girl looking up from the dead kid, saying, "Why?" You know, saying, "How could this be?" Shock and horror on her face. I handed it to Neil, and I watched it hit him. And he picked up the guitar and wrote "Ohio" right in front of me. Then I called Nash, and I said, "Get us a studio now, right now." And he said, "I don't know if I can." I said, "Doesn't matter what you have to do, what you have to pay, get a studio anywhere and get it now. Get Stills, get engineers to get the thing." And he did. We went in the studio, cut it. I think it's either that night, the night he wrote it, or the next night. And the president of our record company, Ahmed Erdogan, God bless him, was in L.A. He took it, got on a red eye, went to New York, and told his whole company, "Listen, this has got to go out faster than any record has ever gone out." And he really pulled out all the stops. He called everybody in the line of people that were going to deal with it and just personally bulldozed it out. It came out, I think it was 10 days. And it was still very fresh in everybody's mind. It was still an open wound.
I also want to ask about the vocal performance that you give there, because the... Like, especially in the chorus, like, I think it's you who's sort of doing these chants, and it almost sounds like, I don't want to diminish it. There's the emotion almost of yelling at the TV or yelling why at this magazine that you're looking at. Can you, like, speak a little bit to the emotion of being in the studio and putting this recording down?
When a country starts shooting its own children, you know something's wrong. This hit me very hard. These kids were doing something legal. They were unarmed. They had a constitutional right to be where they were. And it was a top-down mistake, and it disturbs me mightily. So when I'm screaming why, it's because I want to know why still. I'm still offended and angry and indignant, and I feel like I need to stick up for what I believe in, which is that is wrong. That is a wrong thing.
Well, let's listen to the original recording of the song. Here we go. This is "Ohio."
Tin soldiers and Nixon's coming. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming. Forget it.
Ohio, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. David Crosby, so you have a version of it recently that you recorded with the Lighthouse Band in Kent, Ohio. Did you say anything on stage to the crowd before you played the song in Kent?
Didn't need to. They know the story.
Yeah.
There were people in the room. There were several people in the room who had lost family members that afternoon. There, that night, in Kent, there were a lot of people there. Chick Canfora was there. Her brother was one of the people who got shot. There were a number of them. It was a very emotionally charged crowd. It's a very strong song. You know, there's other people singing it. There's I went and sang it with Jason Isbell at Newport Folk Festival, and we just blew the place down. It was amazing, the reaction to that song. It's probably the best fight song we have. I've been trying to write a new one. And I've been asking all the writers to please come up with a new one, because we need a fight song. We need a Sing It in the Street song. We need a We Shall Overcome. We need something.
Well, let's listen to the version that you recorded in Kent, Ohio, with the Lighthouse Band. Here we go. This is a live recording of Ohio.
One last song. I need your help. We can't sing this by ourselves. We need it loud. I need you to reach down and really sing. I want it loud. I want it to go all the way to Washington, D.C. I want them to hear it all the way across the damn country. I want you to sing it loud.
Powerful, I don't need to tell you it's powerful, but that's a powerful live recording of Ohio, recorded in Kent, Ohio, by David Crosby, along with the Lighthouse Band. That is Michelle Willis, Becca Stevens, and Michael League. Together, they have a new album called Here If You Listen. You said a little bit earlier on that you don't love thinking about things necessarily beyond like 5 minutes ago, in terms of looking back at the past. And yet, there is this documentary about you and your life that will be screening at Sundance, made by Cameron Crowe.
The skilled interviewer circles her prey and pounces.
I've been holding on to that just because, I mean, what an interesting excerpt. Like, having a documentary made about you. Come on.
That was a total compliment. I thought you did that beautifully. Absolutely beautifully. Yes, there is a long and rather detailed look at my life. Cameron, God bless him. He's, you know...
Cameron Crowe, who people know, is a legendary filmmaker. Yeah.
You know, I don't think about him that way. He is that, but he's a buddy of mine. So he's known me since he was a teenager. You got to understand that. So he knows me really well, better than most people. And he is a brilliant interviewer. He has a knack for... pulling stuff out of people that they didn't really realize they were going to say. And he does that with me. He got stuff out of me nobody else did. There are some moments in it that are disturbing. But it is... You know, when you make a documentary these days, the normal thing is to go to everybody that you've ever met who was famous and get them to say really nice things about you, and then you can use their name in the advertising.
Right.
This is a different deal. This is a very honest conversation about how my life has gone down.
So tell me, like, I guess, if you said that there are some parts that were disturbing to you or some things that you didn't think that you would say, like, how, was that a difficult time? Like, did you feel sad while you were making it or
some of it, yeah. He didn't force me, but he... asked me to look at things that are hard for me to look at, and I did. And there is usually a benefit there, cathartic, you know, or helpful teaching moment. But it can be very painful, and it was, and it is, and that's probably a good thing.
Has it changed anything in the rest of your life? Like, have you, is there a thing, are there relationships that you have that are different now because you went through the process of making that doc?
It made me treasure my wife Jan and my son Django and my other kids even more. Maybe if that's possible, I would give my life for them already. But I saw choices I could make better. It's tough.
Are you nervous for it to come out, or how do you feel about how do you feel about it coming out?
I feel fine about it coming out. The guys who did it, AJ Eaton and Cameron, are talented guys, and they went for the deep end of the pool. And I don't expect it's going to please everybody because it's not all flowers and bunnies. But for people who are looking for content or the truth or an insight, I think they're going to like it very much.
So you've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Has your wife seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I also like that it's screening. So it's screening at Sundance during the same festival cycle, I guess, as two other really big music documentaries. And one is Leonard Cohen. And then another one is Miles Davis, who, you know, was instrumental in getting the bird sign back in the day. And I just thought, what a sweet moment of poetry, I guess, that there would be a doc about Miles Davis coming out at the same time as yours at Sundance.
He's touched our lives a couple of places. He was the person they asked, you know, what do we do with this? And he said, sign them. And then, of course, you know, later on, he cut Guinevere.
Right. And it was like, we had talked about this last time you were here, and you said that it was like an unrecognizable version, and he played it for you, and you were like, what?
Later on, of course, a more sophisticated Cross listened to it and realized it was utterly beautiful. I'm honored that he did it. I can tell you that.
While we're down memory lane, I'm going to play another track that you've gifted us that you recorded live with the Lighthouse Band. It's the song Deja Vu from 1970. Recorded in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Tell me what you...
Ooh, that was a good night. Ooh.
A good night in Kalamazoo? What made it a good night in Kalamazoo?
A great audience.
Okay.
A totally great audience.
Tell me why you love playing the song Deja Vu, or why you wanted to send this one to us out of anything.
It's a good song, he said modestly, but it is.
Good, yeah.
B, we absolutely have a blast with it. We never have done it the same twice. And that is a miracle. And we have a blast. we have a blast with it.
Well, let's hear it. Here we go.
Thank you.
That is a live performance of Deja Vu recorded in Kalamazoo, Michigan. David Crosby, along with Becca Stevens, Michelle Willis, and Michael League, the Lighthouse Band that play with him, and co-wrote and collaborated on his latest album. It's called Here If You Listen. I want to close out by talking about one of the songs on the latest album on Here If You Listen. And there's a lyric on the song that really stopped me in my tracks, because I don't know if I've ever heard you write quite like this or sing quite like this before. It's the song Your Own Ride. And you reflect on life. And the lyric that made me pause and have to go back was, I've been thinking about dying and how to do it well, how to stand up and face it or just lie where I fell. So before we hear the song, whose perspective is this song written from?
Mine.
Okay. So let's talk about it in that way then. Who are you singing it to?
My son, Django.
Oh, wow. So Django is one of... You have six children, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And Django is, if I'm not mistaken, the one son who you raised yourself.
That's right.
Okay. So tell me what you want him to know, or what you want to say to him in this song.
I wrote this about 10 years ago to him when he was about 12. And I love him a lot. And you can hear that in the song. The line about dying, well, you know, I'm old. I'm 77 years old. And the odds are I got, you know, a little bit of time, but not a whole lot. And I treasure this time. Time is the final currency, and I intend to spend it on making something better, on creating some art, on trying to help somebody, trying to do something positive. Because I think that's what we should be doing with our lives. And that's me trying to make up also in my head, balance in my head, time that I wasted. I wasted a lot of time. And now I wish I had it back, but I don't get it back. So the time that I do have, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it as hard as I can, as best I can, at the highest level I can, over and over again, until I can't.
Yeah. But the song, too, like, it isn't entirely about you and what you want to make sure that
you do. No, it's about the kid.
It's about clearing the way.
It's just that I've been thinking about dying part.
Yeah.
I have been, because you do, and that's the conclusion I came to, is treasure the time that you do have. Mm-hmm. Don't think about the fact that you're going to not have some. Think about what you do have, and then do the absolute best you can with it. Do something positive with it.
Forgive me if this is an ignorant question to ask, but so you said that you wrote this song for Django, for mm-hmm. the son that you raised. Would you have a different message for the children who you didn't watch grow up, or maybe who...
No.
Okay.
No, and it's to the parents, too, in the sense that when I say they watch each choice you make, every path you take, they do, man. They may not listen to what we say,
mm-hmm.
but they watch every choice you make. Oh yeah, they do.
Your children do.
Yes.
Do you know all of your other children?
Yes.
Yeah, and you've really...
Well, I've had two show up that I didn't know about. That's not true. One show up that I didn't know, one show up that I did know about. And they turned out to be unbelievably great human beings.
And one of those is James, right? Who
James
you worked with on the last album.
Oh my God, what a guy.
And then three that you did know about as well.
Yeah. And then there's Erica, my daughter Erica, who I didn't know about. She called me up. She said, "Hi, my name's Erica, and I am the daughter of," and she named a lady that I had been with, and she tells me she believes you are my father. And I said, "Well, golly, let's find out." And we did. We did, and she absolutely is.
So you did DNA testing?
Yeah, we did DNA testing, and absolutely she's my daughter. The lady that she was her mother had wound up married to another friend of mine, Arlo Guthrie. And so she was able to trace back through them to, they told her, you know, who her dad was, and she got a hold of me. And we are very close now. She's a wonderful human being and is a large part in my life now.
Wow. I'm sort of stunned.
Yeah, I am too, because usually those things don't go well. That's what happened with James, too. Normally, one or the other person comes to a meetup like that with too much baggage. You know, why did you leave me and Mom? We weren't good enough for you, you know, and that kills it right there. James didn't do it, and she didn't do it. They both gave me a shot at earning my way into their lives, and I am very close with both of them now.
David, as always, it is such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you for being so knowledgeable at the stuff that we're talking about and being funny. I like doing it with you. I think we should do it on a regular basis. I think you're going to inquire about a monthly disturbing phone call, because I love talking to you guys.
That sounds awesome. Well, this has been such a delight. Okay, we're going to go out on that song. And David, all the best of happiness and health and music. And please pass our World Cafe congratulations on to Becca, Michelle, and Michael, too. I respect their musicianship so much and love them all. So thank you.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
Each path that you take, thing you do, and all the choices you make to face up to evil and to see it through.
David Crosby. That song, Your Own Ride, is on his latest album called Here If You Listen with the Lighthouse Band. Thank you so much, David Crosby, for being here to talk. I probably don't need to tell you this at this point, but that was an absolute pleasure and a delight. And I do want to do that monthly phone call. We're brainstorming ideas. David Crosby said the monthly disturbing phone call, maybe Crosstalk, maybe still Crosby after all these years. That idea comes from our World Cafe producer, John Myers, who did a brilliant job with this session. Thank you, John. If you have an idea for what we should call that Crosstalk, find me on Twitter. I'm at Talia Schlanger. And as always, thank you so much for spending some time to listen to some music here with me on the World Cafe.
'Cause I've been thinking about dying, how to do it well, how to stand up and face it, or just lie where I fell. It's a matter of honor, having stood up some light, to spend my last hour